This program is really important, I think, because it's bringing the organ into an issue that I think is really, really important in this time. We're in a society that's more divided than ever, and I think on the grounds of politics, we sometimes forget what's more important on this planet and on this earth. The border wall is obviously an incredibly contentious issue, but we get bogged down and we forget what it actually is doing. I just wanted to share something that I'm holding that another artist just shared with me just moments ago that has really brought me in the spirit of this moment. This is a water bottle that Glenn Lyon found at the in the border region that was used for a migrant crossing the border. And I just wanted to share it. Maybe he'll, after a wander around, and he can share more of the story with you, but I just wanted to put it here just to bring something from that region right here. So this program doesn't have a physical list of things, but it's going to be narrated by an artist whose name is Eric Miller. So you will get a blow by blow of what you're hearing. So don't feel lost. But it is conceived as one unit. So I would ask that you don't applaud or anything in between anything until the very end. The last thing I wanted to say is that this program is the collaborative work of so many people that I cannot possibly list all of them off the top of my head. Only some of them are in your program. The list of the names in your program is the list of people who directly provided something for this program. But there are so many other artists and so many other inspirations and so many people who have been working on this issue so much longer than I have. It's really, really just an important issue, and I hope that enjoy the program. Thank you.
The wall doesn't even stop people from coming into this country. It does stop wildlife, and it splits habitats in half. We're only causing harm, we're not actually getting any benefits from this.
There's an enormous diversity of life on this planet. And every time we start to look at how that life works, we're surprised and made more knowledgeable about life in general.
Nature doesn't stop at all. Jaguars, bears, and eagles still fly and roam on that side. That rain also falls on that side.
There is no option to go back and change anything that exists. If we're not allowed to retroactively go back and fix mistakes in the past, then we really should be working and getting it right in the future.
There's an amazing lack of perspective and an amazing picture of the border as a bloody, dirty place that we need to shut down. And in fact, it's the same place. It's quite beautiful and it's very treasured by many people.
I grew up here in southern Arizona. I remember the time when I would go down towards the border to go quail hunting or what have you. It was a completely different era. I mean, there was no real concern about the border per se.
It became a thing specifically related to conservation and environmental issues in 1997. There was a desire to control migrant traffic south of San Diego to a much greater extent than was perceived was happening. And Congress passed a revision mandating triple fencing for 13 miles south of San Diego. Nothing happened for a long time after that until after 9/11 happened. But that was really the beginning of this perception that somehow environmental laws were impeding forest clearing.
One of the most problematic parts of what we see right now in the water and water policies is the passage of the Real ID Act, and specifically Section 1 and 2.
The first step was passing the Real ID Act in 2005. It passed a provision that authorized the Secretary of Homeland Security to waive all laws for construction of border barriers and associated infrastructure.
One of the problems with using the waiver from the Real ID Act is that there is no review of any process, that there is no scientific review, and for that reason, we don't have baseline information of what was then and what is now. There's no way to compare what has happened in the last 10 years with border infrastructure, because we were never invited or allowed or integrated into a process where research could inform some of these processes.
There are washes all over the desert, which only temporarily have water. And if you build a wall across it in the dry season, you might not see that as even an issue for your wall. However, you get a monsoon, and then the wash pulls the water, and then all this debris barricades against it and pushes the wall out, and you can damage your infrastructure. At the same time, those washes are also the most important movement corridors for 90% of the animals. So that would have been a very clear place that we could have overlapped some of the science of species movement with some of the science of border wall construction.
Right now, as we speak, the Border Patrol is reconstructing a portion of a wall here in southern Arizona because they understood, after watching portions of the border wall falling down during the floods, that they really didn't know where and how to build it the first time around. That could have been prevented by following the laws, but now they're having to rebuild some of the wall so it doesn't fall down. And it sounds like we're going to duplicate that in high gear here. We're going to build a wall, and then we're going to find out if that's effective or not and how it works.
It's really quite amazing that this is Arizona. It's all grassland out here. It's not a desert wasteland, as a lot of people think. Then you have this metal structure in the middle of it just cutting everything in half. Doesn't seem like the best solution for this problem.
There is infrastructure there right now. There is pedestrian fencing, there's vehicle barriers, there's baller fencing.
It's almost incredible that the U.S. Congress has repeatedly sought to address this problem by building a wall as opposed to addressing underlying issues that contribute to the problem. The walls don't stop people. They go under them, they go over them, they go around them, they go over the top of them. There's no wall that will stop them from doing that.
So long as there is a demand for drugs in the United States, there is going to be traffic from Mexico, whether that wall is there or not. By building it the way that we're considering building it in the media right now, humans are still going to get across it, but everything else is going to be blocked. And that would be a shameful use of $23 billion of funding that could be used to improve our social education, healthcare, and all the other things that are sort of falling apart.
Anytime you start breaking up populations of animals because they're migratory or their normal movements go from one place to another, it causes real problems with providing the stewardship of those wildlife.
If a water source is on the other side of the wall that species would normally be able to get to, if there's a wall there that they can't get to, it can physically be accessible to them, but then spatially not be because of this barrier. So on the micro scale, the smaller scale, it restricts species from getting important parts of their habitat.
Jaguars, ocelots, pronghorn, bighorn sheep, bison, these are important species that have lived in this region for many years, that have lived on both sides of the border, and that could be paying the ultimate price for this infrastructure.
We're not working the wall around natural features and habitats as a direct line, so there's no consideration at all currently about realigning the wall in ways that support species movement.
The environmental consequences of this policy are not only the impermeable barriers. Border infrastructure includes all of the impermeable barriers, but also all of the roads that are open in public lands, all of the access roads, all of the forward operating bases, all of the high power lights and generators, all the patrols, all the ATVs, all the helicopters, all the checkpoints, all the helipads, all of that is border infrastructure, and all of that has impact on the environment.
My hope with this project is that it opens up the line of communication between people that they can see that this isn't a solution. This is just creating more problems for everyone involved.
There are ways that we could probably ensure good border security and maintain our natural resources and conserve our wildlife if we would take the time to plan for it and do it without making this a political football.
Instead of thinking about campaign problems, we really should be thinking about how we can involve more science. Science is a very important field in our world. I think not just the science of species movement, but the science of construction, of ensuring that the physics of the construction and the design of the wall actually incorporate water, which could then be easily used to incorporate animals. When you're talking about the space between the bars, you have to look at the skull distances of some other species and see what we're actually allowing to go through those, and then see what the species are on the ground that need the most attention.
I have no inclination to stop finding the border wall altogether in areas where nobody who is considered a security expert thinks it makes any sense and where it does tremendous damage to communities and to our public lands. I suspect some amount of wall is going to be built realistically, but I'm hoping that we can minimize it.
Generally, I think the Border Patrol is supported in this state. We know they have a tough job to do. It's a dangerous job to do. We might not all agree with the policies that are involved, but it's not the fault of the individual agents or their supervisors. It's mostly coming out of D.C. behind Potomac River, where they don't know what it's like in the desert.
Some of the things that we see along the border now in terms of technology, there are just regular drones, remote towers that collect everything from thermal imagery, like the heat sensing photography, so they can see the heat of people going by. They've got a huge array of tools at their disposal, and a lot more coming up as technology advances that are going to be better for them to track and movement of people than a complete barrier.
I think one of the solutions is that we find political willingness to talk to each other, political willingness to address problems that are important and real, political willingness to have conversations that are constructive and not divisive. If we find common ground working with the environment, then we will be able to see beyond these barriers and work with each other and address problems.
Politics, again, is not always straightforward. It doesn't always work to the benefit of the species. So the right people know what's going on. Whether or not the people who make decisions are listening to them, I think, is really the biggest problem.
All of these laws have already been waived, and that all laws in the entire country can be waived right now. And that's not right.
No one is sure what is being proposed. It's being admitted as we move along. And we're going to pay for it, courtesy of the United States Congress.
I hope more people can work together to realize that this isn't a solution, that there are better ways to do this. We need to act now before it's too late.
Isaac Newton wrote, "We build too many walls and not enough bridges." manuscript copied when southern Arizona was part of colonial Mexico. Garth Payne, acoustic ecologist, composer, and scholar, captures the spirit of the borderlands in a different way. Organ pipe training is an audio experience created with samples collected from Organ Pipe Cactus National Monument. He describes, "These lands on the U.S.-Mexico border may seem empty, devoid of life, but if you spend a little time sitting, quietly listening, you come to realize that the ecosystem around you is teeming with life. Small, fragile, yet endearing insects, even coyotes, deer, jaguars, and bears inhabit the borderlands. In fact, the borderlands are among some of the richest ecosystems we have. Understanding this fragile and beautiful environment can be challenging to the passerby, but by stopping to listen, truly listen, a whole world emerges." desert, Tucson based composer Pamela Decker recognizes the immense beauty of her home as reflected in her organ suite, Flores del Desierto. Abundant and diverse plant life flourishes in every corner, wildflowers of every imaginable color come and go as seasons change. Using the border wall itself as an instrument, he calls special attention to the forwardness of it. His border wall music has been the focus of feature-length films and national and international media. Wyant's performance and field recordings from the desert and border wall at Nogales, Sisabe, and Luquillo are incorporated into the next piece on this program, composed by Hugh Morgan. Morgan writes, "Humans are creatures down to natural boundaries. We seek out mountains, rivers, coastlines, and inhabit that thin zone between earth and air. But we're also creatures of division, partition, and territory, imposing arbitrary lines on a fluid natural landscape. When a narrow ideology drives a brutal physical barrier through the heart of a fragile ecosystem, there will be a consequence, all bad, and of which the ideology cares not at all. Just as human migration paths are blocked, so are those of the area's great mammals. Watering holes become inaccessible. Gene pools shrink and dry. Construction pollutes. Natural treasures are lost forever. The ecosystems are eroded and destroyed, replaced with steel and rust and dust. Reflecting this in music needs an entropic structure, a natural soundscape under assault from alien metallic noises. Ambience dissolves into static. Insects and birds and mammals and the very earth itself are silenced under the scraping and beating of the wall's hostile metal." Giving this process a title is hard. Schism is too political, too historical. Division or severance, too abstract. Rift or shear are too much of the natural world, absolving humanity of its role in destruction. Simply then, fault. A fault line opened by ignorance and expediency, in cruelty and in haste.
Thank you.
Border wall is designed ostensibly to limit the movement of people across the international frontier, but the consequences of building walls extend far beyond this purpose. Ecologically, this region is renowned for its high levels of biodiversity. A recent study by Jamie McCollum used camera traps along the U.S.-Mexico border to study areas with and without the wall in place. The recorded results were divided into three categories. First, the movement of native species, for example, coyote or bobcat. Second, the movement of people, such as government officials or smugglers. And third, the movement of invasive species, primarily cows and dogs. Ironically, the wall has not been effective at stopping the flow of humans across the border. Human movement has been unaffected, but the wall has disrupted animal movement in a perilous way. As wild animal sightings have declined, the only animals that seem unaffected are feral dogs. The wall is ecologically detrimental because it restricts animal movement. Yet, it has had little to no effect on the flow of illegal migration or smuggling. The intent of those promoting this type of border security. Psalm 137 describes a forced human migration, the Babylonian exile of the Jewish people. Known for their joyful music, the Jews were taunted by their captors to perform, but instead, they leave their harps behind. Johann Sebastian Bach's organ setting of this song portrays the melancholy of those forced from their homes. This music accompanies views of animals who call the borderland home.
Thank you.
The border is a beautiful piece of paper folded carelessly in half. The border is where flint first met steel, starting a century of fires. The border is a belt that is too tight, holding things up but making it hard to breathe. The border is a rusted hinge that does not bend. The border is a blood clot in the river's vein. The border says stop to the wind, but the wind speaks another language and keeps going. The border is a brand, the double X of barbed wire scarred into the skin of so many. The border has always been a welcoming place, but now a stop sign, always red. The border is a jump rope, still there, even after the game is finished. The border is a real crack in an imaginary dam. The border used to be an actual place, but now it is the act of a thousand imaginations. The border, the word border, sounds like order, but in this place they do not rhyme. The border is a handshake that becomes a squeezing contest. The border smells like cars at noon and wood smoke in the evening. The border is the place between two pages in a book where the spine is bent too far. The border is two men in love with the same woman. The border is an equation in search of an equal sign. The border is the location of the factory where lightning and thunder are made. The border is No-No the clown who can't make anyone laugh. The border is a locked door that has been promoted. The border is a moat without a castle on either side. The border has become Checkpoint Chalet. The border is a place of plans, constantly broken and repaired, and broken. The border is mighty, but even the parting of the seas created a path, not a barrier. The border is a big, neat, clean, clear black line on a map that does not exist. The border is the line in new bifocals. Below, small things get bigger. Above, nothing changes. The border is a skunk with a white line down its back.
Thank you. Just need to be brave enough to try.
sky is our greater home. It is the place and the feeling we have in common. This place requires no passport. The sky will not be fenced. Traveler, look up, stay a while. Know that you always have a home here. Collaboration is at the center of successful human activity. Only by working together can we identify problems, realize solutions, and implement change. This program itself is the creative result of many. We were initially inspired by a drawing, ironically submitted by artist Jennifer Meridian, as an alternative proposal to the border wall. This potential alternative for the border wall offers points of entry and exit for humans and other animals. Instead of polluting the environment with the sounds of helicopters, ATVs, drones, and construction vehicles, this alternative wall imagines a peaceful musical offering. Ultimately, though, any wall is ineffective and completely unnecessary. The closing piece, Distant Circles by Jean-Baptiste Robin, allows us to reflect upon the urgency of the problems we've created at the border. Robin's harmonic and rhythmic language are remarkably symmetrical and stable, yet its drive and intensity feels unsettled and uncertain. The piece's cycles seem to align with a structure larger, more enduring than us, something ineffable. But as quickly as it aligns, it falls away, leaving nothing. The border is an imaginary boundary, fused with meaning, only when we choose to assign it. Militarization at the border, the wall, and all of its infrastructure are affecting the environment right now. Unless something changes, the future is already set.
Thank you.
Erica.